Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dorsey Wright update for Monday, October 5th, 2020. I'm Jay Greg Manning here. Joining me this week is Ian Saunders. And Ian, it's hard to believe that the words October came out of my mouth just now as we've turned to yet another month of the year and have now officially begun the fourth quarter as of last week. And, you know, as we typically do is take a look back and at the previous quarter. And so, you know, if we take a look back at the previous quarter, turning the calendar away from September, which is historically, a volatile month for the market, it's on average the worst month on record for the S&P 500. And we saw quite a bit of volatility begin to creep back into the markets over the course of September, although finishing on a high note by month end. And if we go back and we look over the course of the third quarter, it was a generally positive yet again quarter in the market with a lot of continuation of trends and themes that we've seen throughout the course of the year. One of those being, equities have performed well in the third quarter with momentum being at the leading edge of the performance. And that's, you look at the momentum factor and certainly, the more growth oriented sectors are the places that you're seeing with the strong momentum. And those are the stocks that have been performing well this year, not only on the upside, but even during the pullback back in February, some of those stocks, big technology names certainly holding up much better. But you look at like PDP up 13.5% in the third quarter, up almost 19% on the year, while you look at the S&P 500 up about 4% on the year. Small caps, again, another trend continuation is that small caps have just continued to lag. They lagged, in the third quarter and still when you look at IJR down about 16% on the year. For that small cap index, international equities, they over the course of the quarter, by and large, held up well, performed well. Fixed income was more or less flat with some areas of opportunity. International bonds did well, and then in the commodity space too, you had a generally positive return stream. And so, as we head into October, coming off of the month of September, October historically is a month that has produced on average positive returns, but it's also a month where we've seen an elevated bout of volatility in some years. Most recently, 2018, while not a double-digit return, you had the beginning of what almost ended up being a 20% correction at the end of 2018. 2008, obviously, you had double-digit losses in the month of October. The crash of '87 happened in October, and even almost double-digit loss in October going back into 1978. While on average there are generally positive, October is on average a positive month. There have been certainly some very very high-profile negative events that have happened, taken place during the month of October. So we'll continue to be vigilant out there as we move through this month and into the rest of the fourth quarter of this year, Ian.
Absolutely, Jay. And as we're looking to, things we're looking to keep in mind and stuff as we move through these last 3 months of the year, has been one thing that we've been continuing to monitor is the participation that we're seeing from some of these broader domestic equity indices in different areas of the market. And how we've been typically been tracking that is through the bullish percent side of things, looking at mainly the bullish percent for the NYSE, BP NYSE. And we saw that indicator move higher to a high back in June with 80% storming higher off of its low of 6% that it fell to in March. So fell at the beginning of the year with the COVID-induced decline that we got there in March, fell down to that 6% level and rallied back significantly higher to get all the way back up to 80% there in June. And then has moved a little bit further south since that time. It made a lower high. It fell off and down to a chart level of 52% in June, made a lower high at 68% in August. And then ultimately reversed down in the month of September and continued lower to a reading where it sat as of market close on Friday at 46%. But then with today's moves, we're coming in to the market here today. Most major domestic equity indices posting advances and leading to some significant reversals on the bullish percent side of things, with BP NYSE picking up an additional 2% at the time of, a little over 2% at the time of this recording this afternoon, to bring it back above that 52% level, which will lead to a reversal back up into a column of X's on that BP NYSE chart, assuming it remains at those levels by the close of the market this afternoon. So we saw some of the other more focused bullish percent indicators, bullish percent for the S&P 500, bullish percent for the S&P Mid-Cap 400, as well as bullish percent for the NDX reverse back up into a column of X's over the past week or so. BP SML, bullish percent for the small cap 600, was one of those more focused areas that had not reversed up, but it is looking like it will reverse back up into a column of X's today as well. So as I mentioned, these are tracking the kind of a participation depending upon the basket that you're looking at. And when we see these charts reverse back up into a column of X's, what that means is that the offensive team will be back on the field, as we'd say. So sitting in midfield position with that offensive team back on the field, assuming that reversal back up into X's does occur this afternoon, does bode well for that kind of longer-term picture, the more intermediate to longer-term picture, therefore, for domestic equity indices that we're examining. And another indicator that we see that we've been keeping an eye on over the past month or so has been the DALI picture, the dynamic asset level investing tool that we used to at its broadest level rank the six broad asset classes that we have across the market from strongest to weakest in terms of relative strength. And so this domestic equities asset class moved back into the number one position there in late August, and actually saw, even with the pickup in volatility and the declines that we saw there in September, furthered its separation from the other asset classes, adding 17 new buy signals during the month of September. So maintaining that strong position there at the top of the DALI asset class breakdown with 252 buy signals. The two areas that we saw fall out of favor a little more significantly were actually those two areas that were the most out of favor heading into the month. Commodities and international equities ranking at fifth and sixth, respectively, actually each lost 12 buy signals during the month of September. So even though they were already the lower ranked areas in the tool, we saw them further their signal decline a little bit. They picked up a few signals in a couple months leading up towards that, but then fell off there during the month of September, each losing 12 buy signals. And when we're looking across the market to see some form of indication about why this might have occurred, one initial indication that we can come to and look at is some of the recent movement we've seen from the U.S. dollar. When looking at the U.S. dollar, the ticker there on the platform, DX/Y for that U.S. dollar index spot, which measures how the U.S. dollar is doing against the basket of major foreign currencies. We've seen this chart after topping out there in March at a chart level of 102.50. Saw a brief period of consolidation there for a couple months in April and May, and then has moved lower, as we've discussed through these videos and through research as well, moved lower to give two consecutive sell signals and also move into an overall negative trend with that trend violation there at 98. Falling to a low in August at 92. And this typically we see a declining U.S. dollar, typically a positive kind of tailwinds for both commodities and international equities, which led to a little bit of improvement from a buy signal perspective leading up to September. But then as we can see on this chart in the month of September, this index spot, DX/Y, reversed back up into a column of X's there on September 9th and continue a little bit higher there the next few weeks, to sit at the current level of 94.50. So while we've seen this near-term improvement, it's definitely going to be something to continue to monitor as we head through the next few months here. We're still sitting in an overall negative trend. The U.S. dollar is still in a negative trend and still on two consecutive sell signals, but showing a little bit of near-term improvement. So we'll certainly be an area to keep an eye out for as we head towards the end of 2020 here, Jay.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at the trend of the dollar has, you know, been negative for the better part of this year, and you know, seeing it rally off those oversold levels is certainly interesting to pay attention and continue to monitor that. As is the case with a number of models on our website, and we have I know a number of you utilize some of the models that we have on our website, and with the month end brings with it probably the most number of models that go through their evaluation process, as there's a number of models on the website that we run that are monthly. Some of those are stock models, some of those are ETF models, and a number of stock models we saw see some changes in terms of their holdings over the course of the past month, namely the couple of our newer models, one being a large cap core stock model that is a 30 stock model that looks and evaluates out of an inventory of the top 500 market cap stocks. So it's predominantly going to be a large cap core model. And then so we saw a number of changes in there. We saw a couple changes as well in an ESG stock model that we run. So the inventory is screened for certain ESG criteria, and the stock model owns 20 of those stocks. There's changes there. So if you're following some of those stock models, be sure to take a look at the models page. Also, one that we saw update today on Monday is the Power 4 model or Sector 4 model. And that this is a U.S. sector rotation model that is designed to hold up to four sectors. And the inventory of that is the Invesco DWA Momentum Sector lineup. So there's nine sector ETFs out there that are built on the technical leaders index methodology, but applied to individual sectors. And so at the end of this month, there we saw two sectors come in and two sectors rotate out of that. And those were specifically seeing materials come into the portfolio and healthcare PTH come into the portfolio. So those two things rotating in this month. And we saw energy and industrials were the two things to rotate out. So for those of you following that Power 4 model, that change took place today. And it's really easy on the models page to go and set an alert. There's a little bell icon next to the model. You can click on that and the system will send you an email and set an alert with that. But, again, I mentioned the technical leaders methodology. Another thing that we just recently saw is all of those underlying indexes went through their quarterly evaluation and reconstitution process. So everything from the technical leaders index, which is the underlying index for PDP, that owns the top 100 stocks, from any sector, top 100 stocks. And then that methodology gets applied on the sector level. So for instance, with PTH, which is the healthcare momentum ETF, the technical leaders methodology is ranking only healthcare stocks and identifying the strongest stocks that are within the healthcare sector. And you can see interesting trends develop, healthcare specifically. You've seen, a lot of the biotech, a lot of more growth oriented stocks make their way into that healthcare momentum over the course of the past year, and similarly on the technology side. But right now, the Power 4 model, again, it holds four sectors, up to four sectors, and it has the ability to raise cash if cash moves up into the one of the top four spots. So right now, materials, consumer cyclicals or discretionary, healthcare, and technology are the four sectors that we see that are in that model right now. So those of you following models, be sure to check the models page. Be sure to take a look at that. If you have any questions about the models, what they are, there's most of them have fact sheets that provide a little bit more detailed information. But if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to let us know.
Wonderful. Thank you there, Jay. And looking at some other areas across the market that have seen some movement but not moved all that much, one way to continue to monitor that, looking outside of just a strictly relative strength approach, is through a page, the Asset Class Group Scores page, which uses that fund score to rank different areas across the market. And as you may know, the fund score does incorporate both absolute and relative strength into its calculation. So looking at the individual fund scores of each of the each of the particular funds all across the Nasdaq Dorsey Wright platform, each of those scores going from 0 to 6, and then averaging those scores together to get us an average score for a group as a whole, again, moving from 0 to 6. We have not seen all that many changes from the broader kind of ranking perspective over the past week or so here. We have seen many of these areas, though. One important kind of point to note is that you'll notice on this page, we have the group sorted by average score, looking at the macro view, so the kind of bigger picture view across markets. We have the direction, which shows the move that this group has either risen from or fallen from over the higher or low of the past 6 months. And then that percent overbought, oversold indication, which is going to be an average overbought, oversold reading of all the funds included in each group. And so while we haven't seen all that much movement over the past few weeks from the bigger, broader areas on this page, you still have the S&P 500 index funds group as the highest ranked macro area. Large cap generally doing pretty well with the all large cap group still scoring above 4.0 and a recent score posting of 4.09. And money market, our cash proxy still showing down in the lower decile of this broader group score ranking, with the money market percent rank coming in at 7.04%. So still have general strength from most of the equity areas up top there, with large cap generally showing more strength, more the cash area still in very low field position. But that percent overbought, oversold column has seen a vast amount of normalization over the month of September. The S&P 500 index fund group got some pretty heavily overextended positioning there with the rally that we saw in the summer. And now we've seen many of those areas and other equity focused areas as well, such as the all U.S. small cap, all U.S. mid cap, and even on the international side, which emerging markets diversified, all moving back out of more overbought positioning back down towards more normalized levels, some of them slightly oversold. There for the case of international, but definitely one thing to keep to note there and to note the positioning of as we head in the next few months here. Still kind of a similar breakdown from a scoring perspective, but more normalized levels for a lot of these equity areas that we'd seen rise in their overbought percentage pretty significantly there before the month of September.
I think that's great. I think that covers, you know, as we're again headed into the month of October, a month that historically has seen average gains during the course of the month, not to say that, you know, those gains haven't come with some amount of volatility. And so, you know, we enter the month looking at, you know, generally positive picture from the equity landscape, from relative strength rankings to asset class group scores to a number of indicators, either having been positive or turning back to being positive today. So with that said, if there's any questions that you have, anything we can do to help you and your business, please do not hesitate to reach out to us. Email, phone number right there on the screen. And we look forward to talking to you. So as we do end all of these calls with, we very much appreciate your time, understanding how valuable your time is. And so appreciate you joining us here and what we have to say this week. I look forward to talking to you next week.